The economy keeps chugging along despite Washington's roadblocks.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Wednesday, the 6th day of March. And we will start with the Dow, which has reached a new high again today after hitting a new record yesterday. Comes on the heels of an employment report from the payroll processing company ADP this morning that said that private employers added 198,000 jobs last month, which was better than expected. And it's good news ahead of Friday's February jobs report from the Labor Department. For more, we're joined now by David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, David, I know that ADP is not always the best predictor of the government's employment report, which we'll get on Friday, but still, it seems like pretty good news despite the fiscal cliff and the sequester.
Yes, it is. I mean, the ADP report, as you say, is not that reliable, but if you add that to evidence from unemployment claims, from consumer confidence surveys, from the ISM surveys, all of it does suggest that jobs are still growing, and in fact, the economy overall is growing. We are weathering the worst that Washington can throw at us right now.
I mean, even though we had a payroll tax increase and everything else.
Well, that's right. But I think we've got to realize how much people had pulled back a few years ago. And there's a lot of pent-up demand. And there's also a big increase in wealth. I mean, this big run up in the stock market, combined with a big increase that we're now beginning to see in home prices, that is making people feel a little bit more wealthy. And I think that is allowing people to spend a little bit more.
Well, let's talk about that record for the Dow, because I have to say there's been a lot of skepticism about just how much that actually reflects the real economy. What do you think?
Well, I think it's important. When you're talking about the stock market, you don't need to look at the whole real economy. You've just got to look at two things, interest rates and earnings. And what we're seeing is an economy which is not doing great, but it's doing well enough to generate good growth in earnings. And also, we've got these extraordinarily low interest rates. And so while in absolute terms the stock market isn't that cheap, relative to interest rates, relative to the alternative in bonds and cash, the market is cheap. And I think that's really what's been pushing the market higher.
Does it signal that corporate America is doing well, you think?
Corporate America has done much better throughout this recovery. I mean, this kind of moderate climate is actually a very good one to grow corporate profits in, because you get some revenue increase, but you're able to hold down your interest costs and you're able to hold down your wage costs because unemployment's still high. So this has actually been a pretty good period in which to grow corporate profits, and I think the stock market does reflect that.
David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Well, now to Venezuela, where some are mourning today and some are not, following the death of the country's polarizing president, Hugo Chavez. Oil markets are not showing much reaction at all so far this morning, despite the fact that Venezuela has the world's second largest oil reserves. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports on the economic legacy of Chavez in Venezuela.
If you consider the impact of Hugo Chavez by traditional economic benchmarks like inflation, he ended on a low note. Javier Corrales is a political science professor at Amherst College.
He is leaving the country in the midst of a serious economic crisis, a very large fiscal deficit. A devaluation was announced that is going to have enormous inflationary effects, as well as productivity declines everywhere.
But for many poor Venezuelans, Chavez was almost a god. He focused the country's oil wealth on improving the lives of the dispossessed. Alejandro Velasco is an assistant professor of Latin American Studies at New York University.
It's meant a tremendous amount in terms of both of economic assistance, but more significantly, I would say, it's meant more in terms of how people imagine their roles in society. No longer cast aside, no longer marginalized.
Velasco says one of Chavez's main legacies is that even the opposition parties can no longer ignore the political influence of the poor. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Well, for more on what Chavez's death means outside of Venezuela, we're joined from Miami by Stephen Keppel. He's economics editor for Univision News. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, I want to first start by picking up on that point that Jeff was just talking about, the poor. And I want to ask you, what kind of an impact is Hugo Chavez's death going to have in the other similar economic countries to Venezuela? And I'm thinking Bolivia, Ecuador, and Cuba.
Yes, I think Chavez's death will have the largest impact on Cuba. The Cuban economy was most reliant on Venezuelan largesse. They were giving more than 100,000 barrels of oil per day at a discounted rate and billions of dollars of aid each year to Cuba, in exchange for doctors and services and things like that. So the Cubans are definitely probably a little bit worried about the future.
And what about outside those countries in Latin America? What was the influence that Chavez had?
I would say Chavez mainly had a political influence. He definitely empowered and inspired other leftist leaders in the region. And for some, he was hard to deal with. You know, he had a few spats with neighbor Colombia and a few other countries. So it's probably mainly political. But then, you know, they had this ring of influence through this oil deal that impacted a lot of the smaller countries, especially economically.
And what about in Miami, obviously home to a lot of Venezuelans in the United States? What's the reaction been so far?
Yeah, actually, Univision Studios are in Doral, which has the highest concentration of Venezuelans outside of Venezuela or in the U.S. And there's been some excitement, but I would say it's muted excitement. Yesterday, we saw a number of Venezuelans congregating at some of the Venezuelan restaurants and gathering places. And obviously, some people are happy to see him go, although nobody really knows what comes next. And I think there's definitely a lot of uncertainty, and there's definitely not going to be, you know, a big rush back towards Venezuela. I think they have a lot of issues to work out still.
Stephen Keppel, economics editor with Univision News. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
BNSF Railway is announcing a new experiment today. It's going to try running some of its locomotives on natural gas this year instead of diesel. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
BNSF is a freight railway. It hauls things like grain and oil from North Dakota. Now, ironically, its trains may use natural gas to haul that oil. The reason? Gas is cheap. How cheap? I asked Lou Pularisi, president of the Energy Policy Research Foundation.
The natural gas, when converted to a liquid, would be substantially cheaper, I would say, probably less than half. But that is not the whole cost.
What Pularisi means is BNSF will have to shell out some cash to retrofit its locomotives to run on gas. It'll need special tanker cars and fuel depots. But David Kotak of Cumberland Advisors says it'll be worth the investment. He expects natural gas prices to be low for decades. In fact, he says truckers will be tempted to try natural gas, especially if the railway's experiment goes well.
Start with rail, add an engine, change train, change a system. The next one looks at you and says, I'm going to do that too.
Kotak says the trucking business faces more hurdles. For starters, there aren't natural gas pumps at many truck stops, but Kotak says that will eventually change. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally to Hoover, Alabama, population 82,000, which for years has had the slogan, Hoover's Happening. Branding is, of course, important in a city that shares its name with a vacuum cleaner and the man who was president during the Wall Street crash of 1929. Well, according to Alabama.com, the new mayor of Hoover is changing the slogan to Hoover, Exceeding Your Expectations. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.